This is September 21st. We are in Lincoln, Massachusetts, at the Commons in Lincoln. And this tape is part of the Morse Institute Library's continuing Veterans Oral History Project. My name is Jim Ramsey. Our camera person is Maureen Sullivan. And we're very privileged to have with us today Conrad Wade Tambor. Welcome, Wade.
Good to see you.
Thank you for being with us. May I ask when you were born?
What?
When were you born?
October 12th, 1932.
Okay. And where were you born?
That's a good question. I don't know.
California.
It was California.
In California.
I was trying to think of a location.
Okay. And I think you, at one point, did you live in Pasadena or that neck of the Alhambra?
We lived in Alhambra.
Alhambra, right. California.
So. California.
Southern California.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you tell us a little something about your life growing up? Did you have brothers and sisters or?
No, I was an only child.
Okay.
Well spoiled.
Spoiled, okay, as often the case, yeah. Right, good. And so you grew up in Southern California.
That's right.
I see. And did you live mostly in the same town in Alhambra, or did you move around some?
We were mostly in Alhambra, yeah.
Okay, great. And so you were there, did you go to like the school systems in there, like high school, elementary school?
I went to high school and elementary, and then...
In Alhambra or Southern California?
It was in that area, but I'm not sure it was actually Alhambra or not.
Right, okay. So now, moving to today, what is your marital status? Are you married?
Married.
I see. And how long have you been married?
How long have we been married?
63.
I'm going to say, it's a long time.
63 years. Yep, about. Good. And do you have children?
Well, no.
Yes. I think you have three children. Good. Okay, that's fine. And these are all grown children.
All grown.
And you have, they're all married, right? Your children are married and they have children? Yes. So you have three grandchildren. That's wonderful, wonderful. So you're relatively new to this place, to the Commons in Lincoln. Where did you live before you came here? Was it Lexington, Mass?
Well, Lexington area, but I'm not sure the exact area.
Right, I think it was Lexington. I think you told me before that you actually came to Lexington in 1964. So you're a long-time resident of this area, and here in Lincoln, we're right next door to Lexington. So this has been your home, this area, for a long time.
That's correct.
Well, almost 60 years, 55 years, actually.
Probably.
Okay. Well, good. Thanks for that little bit of background. So you entered the military. Where and when did you enter the military?
Well, in Southern California, but
okay.
I'm not exactly sure what the dates were.
I think you told me at one point that you may have gone in around 1955.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's it.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
And I think you also said that you eventually, you went into the Navy, right?
That's correct.
And you were an officer in the Navy.
Eventually, yeah.
So you went to officer candidate school in Newport, no?
No, not in Newport, yes.
Right, the officer candidate. And that was basically your initial time in the Navy. So this was right, was this after college? Oh,
yes.
You went to Occidental, didn't you tell me you went to Occidental?
Occidental, yeah.
Which is also in California. And then after Occidental, you went to officer candidate school in the Navy.
That's correct.
And that was in Newport, Rhode Island. So that brought you, had you ever been east before?
No, not really.
So basically that was your first move east. And why did you go into the Navy? Do you remember why you decided you wanted to do it in 1955?
Because there was a draft and I didn't want to be drafted.
Okay, well that's...
So I picked the Navy as a preferred choice.
I see. You thought that would be better than the Army or the Air Force? Or the Marines? Great.
Well, at least the Navy stuck out as a preferred venue.
Right. So, did any family or friends join with you when you did that, or were you kind of, was this just on your own? You just decided?
Pretty much on my own, yeah.
Right, okay. So you went to Officer Candidate School, which is kind of basic training, if you will, for naval officers. And what did you do? What was it like at Officer Candidate School? Did you have some things you had to study and some, you know, physical type stuff you had to do?
We had a lot of physical activity, and then obviously we went through a series of question and answer to build up some knowledge about what we were doing, what we were going to do.
So you really learned how to be an officer in the Navy.
We got conditioned there, yeah.
Right. I mean, you probably learned about navigation on a ship. I know you didn't spend much time on board ship, but military history, naval history, the great battles, all that stuff. But you also did a lot of physical activity, marching and...
Oh, yeah, very much, very active.
Was it a rigorous physical program?
It was a good, rigorous program. I can't even tell you.
Good. Well, good. So what did you think? I mean, overall, did you enjoy the experience? I mean, was it challenging, tough? I mean, what did you think of all of the military authority that you were suddenly exposed to? Yes, sir, no, sir, all of that stuff. Did you...
I got pretty good at it. It didn't bother me that much.
Right.
So I was comfortable with... That was what you did.
Yeah, you had to do it.
Yeah.
Right. So after you completed Officer Candidate School in Newport, and that... You recall how long that was? Was it a few months?
I think it was less than 6 months.
Right. Did you have any other training beyond that? Like, did you go to some kind of specialized school or that sort of thing, or did you go right off to your first duty station?
I just followed what was put in front of me, which was...
Okay, so you got so you got a set of orders to go to your first duty station.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, you then were an ensign?
That's correct.
In the Navy?
In the Navy.
Right.
Or Navy Reserve.
Navy Reserve, okay. So what was your, what obligation were you committed to? Do you remember? Was it 3 years?
Duration was 2 years.
Huh? Right. Three.
Three? No, three? I thought it was two, but...
So you had a three-year commitment
once
you completed. So, and this was in 1955 that you embarked on this course.
Yeah.
Okay. So, 55, that puts us a couple of years after the end of Korea, the Korean War, and quite a few years before the start of the Vietnam War. So, and I guess... At the same time, this was also when the Cold War was pretty hot.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay. The mid-50s. Fallout shelters and all of that sort of thing. I mean, I do remember, I mean, I was 12 years old at the time, but I do recall that era. So you were an ensign in the Navy, and... Did you have any choice as to what your first duty station would be?
Not really. We started out to be someplace in the east, and I wasn't particularly happy about that, so they said, okay, we'll take care of it. We'll send you the ADAC.
So when you said you didn't want to go to the east, they sent you about as far west as they could. And that far west, so where? What was your first duty station? ADAC, Alaska?
Yeah, ADAC, Alaska.
I see. And tell it, where is ADAC, Alaska?
It's almost in it's pretty far north and west, so.
And it's out.
Or
it's
actually, east, I should say.
It's actually out in the Aleutian Islands.
It's in the Aleutians.
Right. So it's off the mainland. And ADAC, as I recall, actually I was reading something that said ADAC is the westernmost city in the United States.
That's true. Yes.
So it is way out there. Okay. So you, were you married at the time?
Yes.
Okay. So you and your wife Adele flew to ADAC?
Well, I went out and then you came out afterward.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the elapsed time was.
Okay. So what was happening on ADAC? What was the naval activity that was going on? Was it a naval air station?
There was an air station there, and there was also a kind of an intelligence gathering activity. Try to tap into whatever was going on.
Right. From the little bit that I read about this, it sounded like one of the main things that was going on was looking for Russian submarines.
That's true.
I guess by then, of course, the Japanese threat was all gone, but being in ADAC, you were basically halfway to Russia from Alaska, right? So Russian submarines. So, and that was probably also the intelligence activity was tied to that. So, and you were, part of a unit that was involved.
More in the support side rather than the actual intelligence work. So.
Okay. So you were basically supporting in some sort of administrative.
Yeah, that's true.
Role. Because it was at that time, from what I understand, it was a pretty good sized base. Wasn't
it was
it?
Big, yeah.
And there were, again, it was mainly an air base. So there were lots of these, I think, P-3 Orion aircraft.
The P-3s are the one I remember, yeah.
Did you ever fly on a P-3 Orion?
I did not try to fly myself, although I originally was going to try to join the air group, and I think we had a little discussion about that as not being a good idea.
So. This was while you were back at Officer Candidate School?
Yeah.
So you were thinking about naval aviation?
Yeah.
Huh. So that, I mean, obviously when you're in the Navy, and I mean, one of the choices is naval aviation or being on board ship or whatever. So you actually gave some thought to aviation? Not too much?
Not much, no.
Okay. Okay. But you observed, you could see these P-3 Orion planes landing and taking off?
That we could, and then it was a P-2V, I think it was another.
P-2, okay. I see. So from your observation of those, what were the conditions like for those pilots? The Aleutians can be a pretty rough place, isn't it? I mean, weather-wise and...
You're never sure what the weather's going to do to you.
Right. So cold and rainy and windy. I mean, was it mostly that way? Was there a lot of sunshine or...
We get some, not that much.
Okay. So you had some sense of what was going on around you, this aviation operation, and then you were involved in the administrative end of things.
The support side.
I see. So where did you live on ADAC? Were you in government housing?
We eventually got there with Adele, and she was there, although before that I was, you know, in a kind of a...
Bachelor officers?
Yeah,
BOQ? Bachelor officers.
BOQ, that's it.
Right, okay. How long after you arrived did Adele come to join you?
Probably less than a year, probably.
A couple of months.
Maybe three or 4 months.
So then you moved into government housing. Was there any civilian activity on ADAC, or was the whole thing government base?
No.
Well, there was some civilian support activity. Yeah, but primarily an air base.
I see. So the civilians probably lived off the base. They can't. Or maybe.
She was
a civilian.
Okay. You did work for the Navy? I'm talking to Wade's wife now, Adele.
I was in the department where we requisitioned food for the whole island.
Oh, I see.
We ordered all the food. It came in by ship.
The food came in, that's right. So you had to be, the whole base had to be supplied by ship. So you, Adele, were involved in requisitioning the food for that. Could the ships come in at any time, or did they have to, I mean, was this basically a year-round type of operation, like once a month, or?
Absolutely.
Yep, okay, that's interesting. I guess that's one of the aspects of life on an island that, to say the least, is remote. It's a different way of living. So, when you were, so you lived in government housing, did you have children, or were children born to you while you were on?
No.
I think maybe one. So your first child was born on ADAC, Alaska.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's a distinction to say that one is born in ADAC.
Right.
That's great. And so, did you ever, I mean, once you were there, did you basically stay there? Did you ever leave during your tour of duty there? Did you ever leave ADAC?
I think there were a couple of things that I left on, but it wasn't a routine.
No.
So we were there all the time, basically.
Okay, but you had something to do with your duties that took you away?
Some things that
okay. But I mean, like, did you go off and visit family? No?
No.
You basically just stayed there.
We were there.
So, what was day-to-day life like? I mean, was it exciting? Was it boring? Was it like life anyplace else?
It was, well, we were fortunate to be together, so that's
great.
That made a big change.
It could be.
And you had to... go through learning to live together properly.
I see. So you had just you were just married.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just before you went to. Okay. And you had a child, and so you must have met a lot of people. You developed friendships with other Navy people there on the island.
And other support groups.
Right. So, and what did you do? I mean, you worked during the day. What did you do? Did you have anything to do for fun?
Mostly things we'd have to cook up for ourselves.
You made your own fun?
Yeah.
I see. I think you told me something.
Salmon fishing.
Adele said something about salmon fishing.
Yeah, that's right.
You liked it. So how was the salmon fishing? Was it good? Did you catch salmon?
Yeah, it was something to do. So.
Right. Did you actually cook them once you, or keep them and cook them?
Yeah, we cooked them, but I didn't cook them.
No, but your wife Adele did.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. Did you tell me at one point, I think you said something about bowling? Was
yeah.
bowling something that you
that
did?
That was an activity that they had a bowling alley up there, and you could go out and create games among other members of the
So circuit. You actually had a kind of a bowling
yeah,
league?
Yeah.
Right, right. And there was something else about entertainment, like you, some kind of a theater, or did you put on plays or something like that?
That I don't remember.
Okay. Well, anyway, that so how long were you stationed on ADEC?
It was at least a year,
if not
more.
And were you promoted during your time there?
Well, I started out as an ensign, and I think I came eventually up to Lieutenant JG.
Lieutenant junior grade, right, good.
And then Lieutenant.
And full, that was after leaving there, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay, but you were there for a year or a year plus or
year plus
something like that. So were you glad? So when it came time to leave ADAC, were you glad to be leaving ADAC, or would you were you
kind of mixed feelings?
Mixed feelings. Okay.
You know, glad to be able to get off the island, but at the same time, it was a familiar place, and it was comfortable.
So it was basically a good place to be.
Yeah, for me.
For you.
And I think for...
That's great. So after ADAC, so you still had a couple of years or a year and a half, couple of years left for your tour. Where did you go next? Was it San Francisco?
I think we came back to San Francisco. I'm not exactly sure where in the city. It's outside the city.
The south side of the city?
Outside.
I'm sorry, outside the city. So when you were in San Francisco, was this at a Navy base, or it was some kind of a naval installation? Do you recall what it was
that
in San Francisco?
It was not in
the installation in the city.
It was right in the city.
Yeah.
The city of San Francisco. That's quite a tremendous contrast from ADAC.
Yes, it was. I think it was having put in purgatory for the first year. I was given a break.
So now you, being a California boy, you must have known something about San Francisco, right?
Oh yeah, that was.
I mean, you had spent time. I presume you had spent time there, as you were growing up. You were pretty much in Southern California, so.
Yeah.
Were you also involved in administrative type activities when you were in San Francisco, at this Navy office? Sounded like that.
It was a support activity.
Support activity.
You know, of some type.
Of some type, right, in the Navy. And probably by this time you were getting to be a lieutenant junior grade,
yeah.
Lieutenant JG. And so did you live, so you must have, did you live in the city or you lived out?
Well, we had housing available to officers if they had their wife out there.
No, we had an apartment.
Did we actually have an apartment?
Apartment in the city?
Mm-hmm.
I see. So what did you think of city life in San Francisco? That must have been pretty nice.
Yeah, that was that was better than ADAC.
So let's see, this must have been, so roughly time frame, like 56 or 57 time frame.
That's about right.
Time frame. So That was certainly well before all of the political turmoil and stuff that in the late 60s, so San Francisco must have been a calmer place then. But it's beautiful, right by the bay, San Francisco Bay, etc. Did you get a chance to do much exploring of the area, or pretty much just stayed in the city?
Pretty much limited, because we didn't, you know, we had to get some kind of assured transportation to
right.
do anything else.
Right, okay. So you were at this post for, I think you told me before, in the vicinity of, or maybe a little less than, a year. Which then took you to your, I guess that was your second duty station. So then you went to where? Was it I think you said Mare Island?
Mare Island is it.
And Mare Island is close to San Francisco.
Yeah,
right?
Very close there.
And
in proximity to one another.
Right, and I believe I understand that Mare Island was a shipyard.
Yeah.
Right. In fact, I think Mare Island had maybe one of the largest naval shipyards. I think it produced a whole lot of ships for World War II and that sort of thing. So was there still there must have been active shipbuilding, or at least ship repairing.
More repairing than anything
more,
else.
More repairing. So let's see, so by this time, well, it was either from mid-57 kind of on or something. When did you, so in 58 was when I guess your duty assignment was up. So between 57 and 58, you were at Mare Island. And is that, did you live on the base there too, or did you live in off-base housing?
We had off-base for a while, but
it was base housing, very nice.
Really nice.
Yes.
Really.
Separate houses.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was separate quarters for each of us.
Okay. And so the main function of the shipyard was to repair ships, probably, or get
That's
them
right.
ready to. So they had dry docks and all kinds of ship repair facilities. Did you, so were you involved in that activity directly, or?
Well, in an administrative role, again, I never
right.
did any of the maintenance, if
right.
you will.
No, I mean, you, as an officer, you have more of a kind of administrative or supervisory type role. Were there other officers, other naval personnel? I know shipyards employ a lot of civilian workers, but were you there? Were there other naval officers
there were
and enlisted people there kind of in your same group?
Yeah, a relatively small group.
Small group, okay. But I'm just trying to think of the command structure. Was there like a Navy captain or something who was in charge of the shipyard that you kind of reported to, or?
That I don't remember.
Okay. So you had an enjoyable time, I guess, living in at the Mare Island Naval Shipyard, working in the shipyard. I should say, I want to go back just for a bit, because I
sure.
neglected to mention, back to ADAC. Just for reference, I learned that ADAC really became a base during World War II, when the Japanese had actually occupied some Aleutian islands that were farther out,
yeah.
like Attu and Kiska. And so finally they set up a base there to then try to get the Japanese, but dislodge them from those other Aleutian islands, which I guess they eventually did. But so there's a deep history in ADAC, and I guess sometime between World War II and when you got there, the base was shifted to this Navy function of looking for Russian submarines. So basically, that's a little bit of history, just for the record. Well, good. So now we're at probably sometime in 1958, and your tour of duty, your commitment, you've completed your commitment.
Yeah.
So what did you think at that point? Did you, I know that you got out of the Navy at that point, but did you give any thought to staying in
the Navy? I thought about it for a while. We talked about it. I guess decided it was time to make a change back. Yeah, so, I did not leave the reserve.
So you stayed as a, I mean, you were an officer
on,
in the
on
Naval
call
Reserve.
If, yeah.
And you stayed in the Naval Reserve.
Yeah.
I see. So how long did you stay in the reserve?
Boy, I'd guess about, you know, a couple of years at
okay.
least.
Okay. Okay. So... Were you discharged when you were at Mare Island? Was that the point when you got your discharge?
Well, Mare Island was a discharge
right.
center, yeah.
So, just for a little bit, kind of after the Navy, what did you do then? I think you told me before that you did some work for Shell Oil.
Shell Oil, that's correct.
Did you go kind of right to Shell from your Navy time?
Yeah, it was. That's right. In a management role again.
With the Shell Oil Company.
Yeah.
Okay. So you stayed in, and this was in Southern California.
Yeah.
So back to kind of the part of California you were more familiar with. I think you told me also that you you made a decision to go to Stanford Business School.
Yes, I did.
And was that pretty shortly after you got out of the Navy, or after? I mean, did you work long for Shell before you decided to go to Stanford Business School?
It was a relatively short time, but I can't put a timetable on it.
That's fine. But
it was a step.
So you went to Stanford Business School in the late 50s.
Yeah.
Probably. And while you were at Stanford Business School, were you still in the Navy Reserve?
Yes.
You were. So you basically went to what, like monthly meetings and
for a very summer. Short time I eventually dropped out of it as early as I could.
Okay. And how long were you at, you? So you were you at Stanford Business School to get your MBA, your master's in business?
Yes.
Okay. But I think you told me before you stayed at Stanford for a while, right?
Yeah, I did.
What were you? Were you teaching there, or doing research, or?
Well, again, mostly administrative.
At the business school.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I believe you said that you were basically doing that actually until the early 1960s, maybe 63 or so, or something. So you were at Stanford for a while. Did you consider?
I thought about, you know, going on for a doctorate and didn't.
Okay.
Chose not to.
So if you'd gone for a doctorate in business, then you would have probably
been there for a while
and been involved in the academic track.
Yeah.
I see. And since I know you moved to Lexington around 64, that must have been kind of right after the Stanford time.
Pretty much, right?
Yes.
So what brought you to all the way across, all the way to the east again? Why did you come east? Did you have a job offer or something after Stanford?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the main reason.
Okay. And so, and as I understand it, you've been involved in a number of things, but a lot of it has been consulting work that you have done.
That I have done, yeah.
And pretty much on your own. I mean, you ran your own company, is that correct?
For a while I was operating as an independent.
Okay. And you did that until you retired a number of years ago. Great. So, once you left the Navy, you went to Stanford. What was it like going onto the Stanford campus after you'd been in the Navy? I mean, did it, you know, were people curious about what the Navy experience was like? Were there other Navy, mm-hmm. Were there other Navy people?
There were, but it was a relatively small cadre.
Right, a small cadre, probably other military too, Army yeah. and Air Force folks who also made a decision to go to business school. Actually, that was a decision I made a few years later, after you. So did you talk much with either your friends or your family about your military experience once you got out? Or did you just kind of basically move on from that?
I basically moved on.
Right. I see. And you stayed in the reserve, you say, for a couple of years after you got out. Did you join any veterans organizations like the VFW or the American Legion or that sort of thing?
No, I didn't.
Okay. And have you ever, have you kept in any kind of touch, or did you ever really keep in touch with folks from any of the units that you were with? Or did you pretty much lose contact? That often happens. We lose contact.
We lost contact pretty early.
Right. Well, congratulations on your military career. Sounds like you had an interesting time. It must have been, I mean, so thinking back on it, that was a long time ago, I know, but so from the mid-50s to the late 50s, was it a pretty quiet time militarily? I mean, the Cold War was, I mean, were you or your family much concerned, worried about conflict with Russia? I mean, that was the big concern at the time. Yeah. Did that much affect you?
In 56, when the Russians invaded Hungary.
So that indicated how hot the Cold War was. Mm-hmm. So this was a challenging time. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, you were young and obviously moving on, I guess, into the world of business. So it must not have bothered you too much.
No, not really.
Good. Well, this kind of brings us to the present, but here we are now in 2019, which is 64 years after, well, no, it's just about 60 years after you completed your service. So that's a long time. You obviously remember a fair amount about it, or at least something of it. Let me just ask you a few questions as you look back, reflecting on your military service. How important was it, as you look back on it, how important was it to you that you served in the military? Another way of putting that, do you think it was a good decision to, of course, you also might have been drafted.
I'm going to say it was a necessary decision.
It was a necessary decision, but you...
But I think we made the most of it.
You made the most of it. And you're happy, as you think back on it, you were happy with your decision to become a naval officer.
Yep.
As opposed to I guess you could have gone to the equivalent of Navy OCS. You could have also chosen to do that in the Army or the Air Force, but going with the Navy was a good decision.
I believe it was.
That's great. That's great. Do you feel that your decision to go into the service, I mean, you might not have been drafted, right? I mean, it was a bit of, well, what do you think were the risks? How likely would you have been, would you have been to be drafted?
I think it would have been a pretty high likelihood, yeah.
Would it? Okay, that's...
So try to choose a service that made more sense was what I think we chose.
It was highly likely that you would have been drafted.
Yeah.
I see. How do you think your decision to become a naval officer and your duty that you had, how do you feel that that affected your life? Did it have a positive influence?
I think in total it was a positive experience, yeah.
I mean...
And it matured me a little bit more.
Matured you, right. I mean, I guess you do learn something about leadership, about discipline. The military is big on discipline.
Yes, it is.
Taking orders.
Right, taking orders, and all of that sat well with you.
Well, it was necessary.
I mean, you had to do it. You have a choice.
You did the best of it you could.
But it sounds like you think that may have been of some help to you.
As
you moved on with your life. Certainly in terms of management or work or whatever, I mean, there are some parallels that the military can help with. So that's good. So as you look back on it, was there some particularly memorable experience or memorable person? I mean, just, you know, something. You talked about the salmon fishing, which of course wasn't a military experience, but just from your time in ADAC or San Francisco or Mare Island, is there anything you can think of, or Adele, who's sitting here with us, can think of? A person, an event, a situation, humorous, serious, sad, etc. Or maybe there's nothing, but I'm just, you know, this is an opportunity to share something that maybe might have been some significance at the time that may have had some influence on you. And maybe not. I mean, not all of us have those, but.
I can't think of something specific.
Well, and that's good. It was just a 3-year.
It was another step.
But it's interesting. It was really your first step. I mean, after college, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when we do this, we're all pretty young. We're wet behind the ears coming right out of college. And so it's our first job, mm-hmm. And in that sense, it's pretty important. Can be pretty important. But on the whole, it sounds like it was a good experience.
It was a good experience.
Right. Great. Well, is there anything else? Is there anything that I haven't asked you or anything that comes to mind that you would like to share as part of this interview? The floor is yours. And you don't have to say anything. This is how we wrap these up.
Well, I think it was a maturing process, which was good. And that was a good experience for all of us.
I would say it's true for me. In general, I think that's true. Some people have a hard time with that, but those who don't, I think, benefit from the maturing. It's a rapid maturing process.
It has to be, yeah.
And that's a good way to get started in life, in post-college life. Well, if there's nothing else, Wade or Adele, then I think we'll wrap this up. I just want to thank you, Conrad Wade Tambor,
for being with us this morning
and for sharing a little bit of your life story. Thank you.
Thank you, and we're going to get a copy of some of this at some point.
All of this will be made available to you.
Good.